All-Star Weekend is underway.
We have the world's best on the world stage.
This is what they all came to see, so yeah, give them a show.
A fadeaway.
Turns it off the glass.
The All-Star of All-Stars.
Team LeBron here ready. It's time to go, baby.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is
what
it
up,
that
yo?
We do?
We get a people. What they want.
It is All-Star Weekend. We have an All-Star joining us later. Who is going to join us, Mr. Rose?
One of the most talented big men in the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves. He can shoot the three. He'll dunk on you and block your shot. Karl Anthony Towns is joining Jalen and Jacoby next.
Two of the other best big men in the league faced off last night in a battle of two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and it was Joel Embiid putting up 42 points to get the 76ers the win, and James Harden didn't even play. Jalen, what do you think of Embiid's performance?
Call an archaeologist. I've been saying this the last couple of years. While people fancy this as a guard-driven league, and we acknowledge that the perimeter players and the versatility of the wings are what drive the game, this is still a big man's game because the hoop is always going to be 10 foot tall. And guys like Karl Anthony Towns, when they playing dominant and the Joker and Embiid and Giannis, these guys become virtually unstoppable. And look at what Embiid has done to his game. Found ways to knock down the three consistently. He could get you with a live dribble, left or right wing. He could turn over both shoulders. He's passing better out of the double team. He's getting me 14 boards, and he's getting me 5 assists, and James Harden isn't even playing yet. We got to get Daryl Morey on the show to talk about this deal, because I tell you what, if they were going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks without James Harden in the lineup, doesn't bode so well for the Bucks, even though they probably have been looking forward toward the All-Star break.
I picked the Bucks to come out of the Eastern Conference, and after watching the game last night, knowing that James Harden didn't even take the floor, I'm a little concerned about that pick. Who is your favorite right now to come out of the East?
I'm going to tell you what you should worry about the Bucks. And today, I still want to pay homage to Giannis and the defending champions, and I'll say Bucks and the Miami Heat, because I saw both of these teams win the conference the last 2 years. But then I get reminded, like when Jordan left the East, it became a revolving door.
Yep.
And the Sixers and the Pacers and the Nets and the Pistons, and so many teams got a chance to make it to the finals. That's what I'm seeing after LeBron left the East. So the Raptors, you see the Heat, you see the Bucks, all of these teams taking their turn. So now I think based on the musical chairs, it may be the turn of another team. This is why if you're the Nets, you're trying to surround KD with Kyrie and now Ben Simmons. This is why if you're the Sixers, you're trying to surround Joel Embiid with James Harden. So today, again, I want to respect the Bucks, but here's my concern for the Bucks. Giannis, Bobby Portis are their two best big men. I'm still trying to search for who's going to be their consistent third big man.
They brought in Ibaka.
Also on the perimeter, you got Drew Holiday and you got Middleton, but who's their third consistent perimeter player that they're going to be able to rely on? So those are kind of my questions for the Bucks. But again, I want to give the Sixers a lot of credit for taking care of business last night against the defending champs.
They absolutely did take care of business, and I can't wait to see Ben Simmons and James Harden actually play basketball for the teams that they're now on. Jalen, Embiid had 42 and 14, and he wasn't even the best performer in the league last night. Luka Doncic, if you haven't been paying attention, has been on an absolute tear. 49 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. He's got 3 45-point games in February, and the Mavs are doing something that they haven't done the last few years. They're playing great defense. Are they a contender in the Western Conference?
They're not a contender in the West, but they have a legitimate superstar on their team. And I want to remind everybody something, because I'm consistent with this. Whether this is Paul George at some point deciding he needs to leave Indiana, Whether it's Anthony Davis at some point deciding he needs to leave New Orleans. If it's LeBron James and Kevin Durant at some point deciding that they need to leave those teams that they were on in order to win a championship. Like I always tell you on and off wax, why are the Mavs winning again? Are we talking about the challenges in their roster? Are we talking about what Porzingis is not? No, we're not, because he got traded. We're talking about the fact that when you have a superstar and he's playing like one, mm-hmm. you should be a contending playoff team. And that's what Luka is providing for the Dallas Mavs. Doing it on the post, taking advantage of smaller guys. He's always been a terrific playmaker. He keeps his head up and always looking to pass first. He's grabbing boards, and this is how I know Luka's feeling good about his game, and he dropped a couple of LBs. He hanging on the rim. Take it for somebody that don't have hops, that's been a big guard in the league. You got to lose them LBs to get around somebody, and then you got to use them to get up there and drop it on in there. You see how he got him on his hip, Jacoby navigating through the paint? I love mm-hmm. watching Luka play. He's actually become one of my favorite offensive weapons to actually watch on a nightly basis.
He really is. He plays at his own pace. He never gets sped up. He always seems to be in control of the game, especially when he has the ball in his hands. Jalen, we talked about availability earlier and Joel Embiid. The Lakers' big man, Anthony Davis, will not be available. The latest on his injury is that he's got a midfoot sprain. He's going to be out at least 4 weeks. The Lakers are four games below 500. They're now ninth in the West. They're missing their second best player. This is bad, Jalen. This is really bad.
Luther Vandross once had a song called "It's Over Now, You and Me, Babe."
It's and over by the, way, the Lakers.
This is not dismissing LeBron James' season, and I love how dominant he was against the Jazz recently, bullying them to a victory. But you ain't coming out of that play-in and then beating the Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns in the first round. They're not going to be able to do it. Let me say it. Let me remix it like Jermaine Dupri. They're not going to be able to do it. It's just too much of an uphill climb, and you got to respect the journey. And Anthony Davis is the all-NBA performer when he had his best. And without mm-hmm. him in the lineup, they're going to have to struggle to be involved in the play-in. And then all of a sudden, if they get in, trouble. This Lakers team officially will not be a contending team or a champion this year.
It's just so hard to see because it's such a freak play when he hurt himself, he's spinning around, and he was playing so well when he came back. When you're looking at the Lakers, you say to yourself, oh, when they get AD back, they'll go on a run, they'll end up in a playoff position, it's going to be fine. Then they get AD back. AD plays some of the best basketball we've seen him play since the bubble, and then this happens, and I keep waiting for AD to come back and then to climb the standings. I might be waiting until, like, next year.
Well, Jacoby, here's something I want to point out. If we have to play for Anthony Davis' injury, or if somebody has seen it, here's what I want to point out. He got injured playing the five, and it was just because Rudy Gobert is just a big man. That's it. The geometry of the floor, Rudy Gobert was looking at the ball, and his big skis that he called feet were sticking out the back, and Anthony Davis just falls. That's why Anthony Davis wanted to play the four. Because you want to be able to grapple and navigate with people that are maybe your size and your weight. When you start going up in class against Rudy Gobert, freak injury. Look at this. Like, Rudy Gobert was just being big. Look at him. He mad at the ref. Like, seriously? Like you call something on me? He don't. That's like a bug on the windshield. He didn't even realize. And look, watch Rudy Gobert. He just being big. Size 18, one of the best shot blockers in the game, contesting everything. And so that's why I believe AD likes to play the four, because now you get the chance to be a navigator against guys that are more your size versus going against big guys like Rudy Gobert. When the last time, Jacoby, you were at the park when you were playing rec ball and you're playing against somebody who's just big and all on you, and you're like, man, just give me 3 feet.
I don't,
you know,
cover
what I'm
those
saying?
People.
That's what that is.
I don't cover those people. That's a matchup that I don't want. That sounds like work. Jalen, we're going to spend a lot of time during this NFL offseason discussing the potential landing spots for star quarterbacks that might be on the move. I'm sure we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers at some point, but right now let's focus on Russell Wilson. It seems like it's not working in Seattle with the Seahawks. If he were to move, Where would you like to see him play next season?
I think the thing that can't get understated is this is a terrible move by Seattle. Let me just be the person to say this out loud. You got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL that has already won your Super Bowl champion, handles himself with class, shows up to work at all times, hadn't missed a game in 10 years, and you want to move on from that guy? And by the way, when I'm watching football on Sunday, those moon balls he throws to the sky, and then all of a sudden Metcalf falling underneath it and Lockett falling underneath it, Carson, I had him in fantasy, just can't stay healthy. Offensive line, just can't keep him upright. If you're Seattle and you're going to lose an all-pro quarterback in his prime, I promise you, you're going to regret. And the answer to your question is the Bucks. I just saw Tom Brady do it. The Bucks. Wow. I mean, I would have said the Lions, but I don't know if he's going to come run with us right now. Well, so I'll just say the Bucks, because they just won a Super Bowl a couple of years previous
Tom Brady. Russell Wilson is very durable. However, he has missed games. You were just alluding to the fact that he is often available to play for the Seahawks. And I would like to see him on the Saints. The Saints have a glaring hole at quarterback. And I really feel that if you could put Russell Wilson in that position, in that conference with Tom Brady no longer there, they can really make some noise. And without Sean Payton, they're going to need something at the quarterback position. Jalen, who's joining us right after this short break?
Carl Kamara's having some issues, but Carl Anthony Towns is joining Jalen and Jacoby. The all-star big man for the Minnesota Timberwolves is going to give us some game next on your favorite show's favorite show.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Horizon Forbidden West, rated T for teen.
Coming to you above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who's joining us right now in the program?
One of the most talented and dominant big men in the NBA. And by the way, not only is he playing in his third All-Star game, he's also competing in the three-point contest. The big cat, Carl Anthony Towns, is joining Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome, big fella.
What's up? What's up, guys? Morning.
Man, thank you so much for taking the time. Now, as Jalen mentioned, not only are you in the All-Star game, you've been there a couple times before, but you're in the three-point contest. What's your strategy?
Yeah, got a thumper.
Win it, big maul, don't miss. pretty simple.
What is your strategy, big fella? Normally, we don't see seven-footers get invited to the All-Star game to shoot three-pointers. So what's your strategy to take this thing home?
Honestly, it's pretty simple. Honestly, I know we joke around, but it's don't miss. Just pretty much get a quick start on each rack. Just shoot the ball. You know, the good thing for me in this competition is I don't jump on my jumpers. So it should be pretty easy just to get it going. So gonna shoot it. I'm trying to figure out where I want to put the money rack. So I don't know yet.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Any special plans for the money rack? You gotta think about that one.
I don't know, because I want to put it in the middle of the floor. And I've been kind of suggested by, you know, NBA players and colleagues, you know, probably don't put it on the middle of the floor. But I'm number one in percentage in the middle of the floor three. So I don't know exactly if I don't want to do that or maybe go to the right wing, to the right corner, just to give it the last shots of the night are always going to be the money balls when I'm feeling the best and most confident. I'm trying to figure it out, though, right now.
So you've got some competitors in this field that are a little bit smaller stature than you. Who are you? Look at the other competitors in the three-point contest. Who do you think is going to be your biggest competition?
Maybe Trae Young and Zach. I think they could cause some problems if they're getting hot. Yep. But I know if I'm hot, I don't think anyone in the world could beat me.
I love that so very much. And this is one of my favorite people and players in the NBA, Jacoby. And the Timberwolves, if you haven't been paying attention to the Western Conference standings, are number 7. So tell the world what's been so special about this team that you felt early in the season can do some big things.
That we number 7 and we should be number 5 through 4. That's what really special. You know, we dropped some games that we know we shouldn't have dropped, some losses that we know we shouldn't have had. But we special. I think that this team, just the way we act, the way they look at basketball winning, it's contagious, and it's led us to a good start to the season. Not the start we would like. We know we could do better, but the thing is, we're in a great spot right now.
One of your teammates, Anthony Edwards, is one of the most exciting players to watch on the court and also in front of a microphone. What is his personality like off the court when you guys are just hanging out?
I mean, yeah, what you see, the ant you see on TV is the ant you get in real life. So he's just, he's probably the funniest person on our team. Just the way he acts and everything, his energy is just, it's just contagious, honestly. I think it's no mistake. The fans love him. He's captivating, you know, and he's electrifying when he's on the court.
Absolutely. He's an explosive athlete, no doubt. Hey, Big Cat, but I want to ask you about the resurgence of the big man in the NBA. The Joker is the reigning MVP. Embiid currently leads the league in scoring. Giannis is the finals MVP. And I mentioned all of the versatile things that you do in the game. So while everybody talks about it being a guard-driven league, and I always say it's a tall man's game, can you talk about how different it is for a big man to be dominant versus a perimeter player?
Yeah, I think it's different, you know, because a big man has to be dominant and doesn't primarily have the ball in his hand, you know? So now big men have always been asked, you know, set the screens, run down the court, block shots, and, you know, if we find you in the flow of the offense, you'll get the ball. I think that big men now are asked to do more than everything. You know, you're asked to dribble, you're asked to bring the ball up, be the point guard, be the center, be the small forward, and in times, you know, for our team at least, you know, guard whoever their best perimeter player is and guard him off the bounce. So we're asked to do it more than ever in the NBA, and it's fun. It's fun. I love it. I love to get a chance to utilize my talents and have some fun out there and compete against the best. It's fun to be able to be a big man and not be like look crazy when you're trying to guard Steph Curry for full quarter, Kyrie Irving, or these magical ball handlers, you know. So it's pretty cool. It's fun for me. The competition gets me going.
Well, we've mentioned how versatile you are. You can go to the rack. You can score with your back to the basket. You can hit the three. You can play make for teammates. Everyone's always working on their game. What are you trying to add to your game to go to the next level?
I feel like just to get sharper, get all my tools sharper. You know, when you're trying to make these deep playoff runs, you need to have everything working at such a level that no one could even come close to touching. So just keep working on separating myself from the field, you know, just keep working on myself, being the best player I could be. So when we get to that playoff run, we lock and loaded, we set, and I know what I could do, and hopefully take the team far.
Carl, as I mentioned, right now you guys are in the 7th spot, which will make you a part of the play-in tournament. Adam Silver has also talked about the fact that he may create an in-season play-in tournament. What do you think about the play-in tournament as it is now and the idea that there may be an in-season play-in tournament in the future?
You know, it's cool. I think it's cool. It adds a lot of pressure, you know, when you're trying to get that 7-8 seed. And before, you know, you were like, I'm locked into the playoffs. Now you're talking about 7-8, 9-10. You're looking at that one-game Super Bowl kind of thing. So I'm not really tripping on it. I just feel, you know, when you got confident in your team and regardless what happens, I feel that if we get to that spot, I think we're going to win against anybody. So I'm very confident about our team. I'm very confident about what we can bring on a nightly basis. You know, I would like to not be in that position, though. You know, I would like to be in that 4-6 range, try to get in that little spot right there and get in the playoffs and start worrying about, you know, who we need to play in the first round.
So you're playing in the All-Star game this weekend. What is your approach? Are you trying to get highlights? Are you trying to get wins? Are you trying not to get dunked on? Like, when you put on your sneakers for the All-Star game, what is your approach to the game?
Man, I ain't going there for no other reason but to win. I ain't showing up just to show up now. That fly ain't worth just showing up now. You know, I'm trying to go out there to win. I ain't trying to go out there to do anything less. If I'm out there to win, I ain't showing up at all.
Well, we look forward to watching you all weekend long. 3-point contest, All-Star game. We look forward to watching you and the Timberwolves after the All-Star game
luck,
climb the standing in the Western Conference. Thanks so much for
appreciate
taking the time to join us.
Appreciate y'all. One of the best shows out. Appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate you. We'll be back with more right after this. Jalen Jacoby. Celebrity game tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN, kicking off the weekend of All-Star activity in Cleveland. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we always talk about the best teams in the league, and we don't mention the Heat, who have the best record in the Eastern Conference, tied with the Bulls, and they have the tiebreaker.
And they just went deeper into the box score yesterday. Look at that block by Bam. With Kyle Lowry playing well, Duncan Robinson knocking down shots. They're the number one team in the conference. The Miami Heat are going to be one of the toughest outs in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, with all the news about the Nets and the Sixers and the Bucks winning the championship, we always sleep on the Heat. Jalen, the Michigan Wolverines are on a bit of a run. They've won 3 of 4. They beat Iowa. Is this team going to the tournament?
We're going to the tournament, and we're going to play well in the Big Ten tournament also. I know you saw our big freshman out there hanging on the rim and slowing down Murray also, because he had been averaging like 30 over their last three games for Iowa. So this is a big-time win for Michigan. I'm happy for Juwan. The team is starting to get healthy. We dealt with some COVID issues earlier in the season, but You ain't got to worry about us making the tournament. We going to make the tournament. You just worry about clearing your schedule to be traveling with me when it's time to go watch us in the Final Four.
I can't wait for that. Want to give a big shout to our producer, Demetrius Harris. Appreciate all the time you put into the show. He is moving on to work on some NBA stuff. And we're moving on. We'll be back on Monday, ESPN2, 4 p.m.
Thank you.